Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Christmas is a time for celebration. And I'm going to talk to you about something that may sound quite differently, though. But Christmas is a time in which we have parties at work, Christmas parties at school, Christmas parties at home, Christmas parties at the neighbors, Christmas parties wherever, you know. And that's what we do, you know, for Christmas, from, you know, having a special big turkey again, or a big old ham or something like that, or having some good food and spending time together, all of the goodies and cookies and candy canes and fruitcake at Christmas, you know, everyone looking at me like, what, right? But all of that. Now, some of us feel like fruitcakes during Christmas, right? We go a little crazy. But all of this is simply all of those things that I mentioned, the food, the parties, and the candy, and all the goodies of Christmas, they just, they're part of it, and it's a great part. But it's a time in which also people like to travel. People like to go, and they like to travel, and most likely they're not going on a vacation on their own. They're going to go visit some family. Or they're going to be running to the airport to pick up somebody who's coming in. Because we, for the most part, see family as the main thing in Christmas. We see Christmas as a family event, right? And we see Christmas, and a lot of people you ask will say, well, what's the most important thing about Christmas? Of being with family. You know, I don't mind that in a way. And that's why I want to talk to you about the family during Christmas, because it is what it is. It is reality. We cherish family, and we long to be with family when Christmas comes around. It doesn't matter if you have great food on the table or if you have the best lit up house and Christmas tree at home, and if you have the biggest boxes wrapped up underneath the tree and the greatest gifts. You see, it's about how far or how close you spend this time from your family. And this could be also the saddest part of the year because of that, because we long to be with family. And as we either are far away from family or lose family members, and we miss family members, and we miss this whole thing, right? So it makes it difficult. And it may seem as the lights of the city start being turned up, like they say around here, or turned on. As the lights in the city are turned on in your house, it seems like the darker it feels inside our hearts, because it's Christmas and we either mourn or we remember or we have difficult memories. I want you to take also into consideration, we just had some tornadoes and some people have lost it all, right? And right here in our neighborhoods, in our church, actually, I want to thank our church, because on Wednesday, when the tornadoes hit, and I got a phone call immediately from a family of ours here that the tornado devastated them, and they were sitting inside the house scared to death, we were able to come down there, and I want to thank some of the men in the church and some of the ladies that just immediately that Wednesday evening, we went out there, got them out, and got them a place and everything. And then we went yesterday and got their roof all blue tarped and ready, so they are safe. So I want to thank the church, and I want to thank the people that, you know, boys and girls, men and women, who have been crucial at this time for one of our own family members. And, you know, and as a church, we're here to help. And it's our sister Margie. I don't know if all of you or some of you may know her, but she comes to our Spanish service, and she has been going through a really difficult time in her life. She had surgery on her foot more than a year ago, hasn't been able to work in more than a year. She gets hit by the hurricanes last year. Her insurance company goes bankrupt. She's having problems with that, and now the tornadoes hit her house. But I told her, you have family. You have us. We're here, and we're here to help. So You guys pray about that as we get to help one of our own here in-house during this difficult time. They could be very difficult for many others also at Christmas. Like I said, Christmas can be such a great time, but at the same time, depressing. I was at Walmart the other day, and the cashier that was, I said, Merry Christmas, and she said, Merry Christmas. You know, it's not going to be so merry for me. And she started telling about her losses in her life, family members, and how Christmas has not been the same for the last 10 years. You see, it has a lasting effect. Christmas is a special time when you really rejoice and overjoy or get really, really sad. And it's about relationships. It's about people. It's about family. And so this resonates in our heads, I'm pretty much sure. You see, the story tells us that in our world, we were so in such darkness. We were in such despair, and the people of Israel. And then, like we read earlier, the shepherds heard the good news that there'd be peace, that there'd be a Savior that would be born for us. And there would be this holy light that shone and all this worship in the heavens. But look at Isaiah chapter 9, and this is where I want to start, in Isaiah chapter 9, in verses 1 and 2, and then in verse 6. And it says in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, I wasn't going there. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea and other sides of the Jordan, Galilee and the Gentiles. And he says, the people who walk in darkness will see your great light. Those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. And if we jump over to verse 6, it says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. What a wonderful thing. When you think that things go bad, God makes it right and makes it good. So all of this darkness we have in our hearts, all of the darkness in the world now can finally be lit up by the light of God and be joyful because of the joy of the Father bestowed upon us and his mercy and grace. And he gives us peace with one another and with him. All of that happens because of a great day called Christmas. So while many run to the airports to pick up their family members, I want us to take a trip down to Bethlehem and see what's happening. Because while many of us may not be going to the airport to pick somebody up, we can go to Bethlehem and see somebody that came in to visit us, all right? So, but I want to talk to you in the light of family. So let's talk about Jesus' family, all right? First of all, let's talk about Joseph. And as we go to Matthew chapter 1, in Matthew chapter 1, we see a little bit of whom Joseph is and how important it is who Joseph was. And we see in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. This is Joseph right here. First of all, one of the things that we can notice there is that the way God brings Jesus, right? He brings them to a family. I want you to think about that. Yeah, Jesus had mama. Jesus had grandmama. Jesus had grandparents and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters and cousins, all that. He had a family. So why would you think that God would send his son into a family? Why didn't he send him as an adult? I mean, he sent Adam as an adult. Well, where would Adam be born, first of all, right? It just couldn't be. It makes sense, right, that he would make Adam as an adult and Eve as an adult, because who would have had them? Duh. But he could have done the same thing with Jesus. He could have had Jesus just appear. He could have had Jesus made from the dust and the Holy Spirit dwelling in him to give him the breath of life as a human. As simple as that. God could have done that. But God didn't choose that. He chose to send him as a little tender, loving baby with a mom and a father. You see, I'm pretty sure that God knows more about family than we do. And that's probably one of the reasons why God decided, you know what, family is so important, I'm going to send my only begotten son into a family. I'm going to teach you some things. You see, family is important. When we look at the history of Jesus' birth, we understand that we find a story that centers around a family, a mom, a stepdad, and a son. Wow, think about that. So Mary did a whole bunch of important things, right? And we're going to talk about Mary. Don't worry, all right? But let's talk about Joseph for a little bit, because Joseph, it says there that he was a righteous man. I believe that not only righteous, he was also humble, as he showed himself merciful also towards Mary. You see, he could have divorced Mary quietly. He could have left and left her alone, and that would have been righteous. Still, he could have been a righteous man and divorced her quietly as he was planning and just leaving her. But also, now we see the righteousness or the justice of Joseph paired with mercy from God. And this is important because God is righteous. God is just. He has to punish bad. He has to deal with the bad. He has to deal with sin. He has to deal with all that stuff, but he also deals with it with mercy. And that's so humbling because God humbled himself in coming to us to show us justice and mercy. Now, how many of you ever returned anything to the store? If you walk out there right now, you could go by my car. And it's got an 8-foot piece of wood. It's got a bucket of paint. I have so much stuff to return that's in my car right now. I'm going to Home Depot and Lowe's and bringing it all back, and I'm taking my money right back into my account. Okay? I want my money back. I want you to think about this, because when something like this happened, Joseph could have gone to Mary and said, "Sorry, baby, but you're not coming with me. And by the way, I need to see your daddy so he give me my money back. I'm returning you." Because it was actually part of the law. He had the right to take her back and say, "I don't want her, and give me my refund." Wow. I want you to... Oh, man. But what an example we have in Joseph here. In the midst of his shame, in the midst of his pain, he exercises mercy. Talk about righteousness in this man. You see, God does justice. God does righteousness unto us. And he gives us Jesus' righteousness, which is awesome, because our own is no good. But he does it mercifully. Can you imagine the heart and the mind of Joseph? His girlfriend goes out on a vacation to visit family. And when he goes to the airport, guess what? He's got a big belly. What is your problem, Mary? What do you do? I pretty much know what I probably would have done. But guess what? Praise the Lord Jesus, right? In Matthew chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21, it says that when he considered this, an angel came and appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that child has been conceived in her by the Holy Spirit, and you shall call his name Jesus." Gave him instructions. The angel gave him instructions, and he chose to follow the instructions. You see, Joseph is something else. He chose to accept Mary. And God chose Joseph to raise his own child here on earth. Wow. a simple and humble carpenter and builder of a little town now has a mission from heaven. Maybe some of you, maybe any one of you, may have grown with a stepdad or a stepmom. I want you to have comfort. Jesus grew up with a stepdad. How important it is for us to understand this kind of stuff. How God even wove in this concept into his own son and family to show us how we need to be. And look at what Joseph does. He does everything. He provides. He protects. He takes in. He loves on him. He loves on his wife. I mean, what a privilege for Jesus to have Joseph in his life. A humble and righteous man. But what a privilege also, what a responsibility of Joseph of raising the Son of God. Would you want a responsibility like that? You see, we can see that Jesus had a clear mission that he was to be the Savior, but he also honored the mission of his father here on earth, of Joseph. Joseph must have taught him something because the Bible says that Jesus grew in stature, Jesus grew in wisdom and in grace. He must have learned that from someone, and he had Joseph and Mary to learn that from. So as we look at Joseph, we can see an example of someone you may want to have close to you during Christmas, a good exemplary father or stepfather or even mother or stepmother out there, right? He took Jesus as his own. He protected him. He covered him. He provided for him. He even took him to Egypt to protect him. You see, one of the things that we see in Joseph is his obedience to God also. Angel spoke, he did. Angel spoke, he went. Angel spoke, he came back. He went completely all out in obedience to God. That's why it's so important during the Christmas time that we understand that they had to stick together. I want you to think Joseph needed Mary. Mary needed Joseph, and Jesus needed both of them, and they both need Jesus. We all need each other. I want you to think of a toothpick, how easy it is to break. I want you to take two toothpicks and break them, no problem. But you take a whole bunch of toothpicks and then try to break them. As they stick together, they're not so easy to break. Man, how important it is to stick together with our families during the hard times. You see, the family of Jesus had a really hard time so that you and I can enjoy a good time during Christmas. Their Christmas was nothing like ours, but you know what? I'm getting ahead because part of this message is for Friday. So I want you to think about that. Think about the people you have around you. They may not be the most loving, or you may not be at the most comfortable place with some of your family. But go, you know, go say Merry Christmas to somebody you may not feel so comfortable with. Get together with your family, even though some of them, they're not really, really great to be together with. But go try. It's Christmas. Do something about it. Come on. Remember that they had hardship and they stuck together. Whatever it is, you stick together. What an amazing thing. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, that we are sons and daughters of God, who has sent the Spirit of His Son to our hearts so that we may be able to shout, Daddy, Father, to our God. So, you know, we have a father. He had Joseph here, whomever you have here, or maybe you're a father. Go hug a father or tell him thank you or something. Amen. Now let's talk about Mary real quick because Mary kind of had something to do with Christmas too. So let's talk about Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35 says, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation was this. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And if you look at verse 38, it says, and Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Man, this is better than Netflix. This is truly better than Netflix. That a young girl was what? Pregnant from whom? And her soon-to-be husband doesn't know? This does a great Netflix series, right? Which, by the way, you know the series Chosen out there? If you haven't seen, try watching that. It's amazing. All right? All right, so let's keep going. So God chooses a young lady. He could have chosen a more mature woman and mother or someone who had kids already. He could have done that. But he chooses this young girl in her early teens, probably, and say, you're going to mother my child. What? This is just amazing. God is full of surprises, right? What a wonderful thing. He leaves us just in awe every single time. You see, this just for the young ladies and young men here and those out there, you can also play an important part in God's kingdom. So don't you discount your youth. Okay, just remember that. God, of course, does extraordinary things, and we see it in the Christmas story. The announcement about Jesus came to little shepherds in the field, not to the kings. Jesus was born in a manger, not in a palace. Jesus was born of poor parents in a poor family, not of the rich. And if we, I mean, think about it. If you would have gotten the chance, if God would have said, okay, Raul, I want you to get together with Jay, and I want you to call Elsie and grab Rosa and let Alma know, and you guys have the task to plan the birth of my son on earth. What ideas would you guys have? The best hospital. The room needs to be at the right temperature. There's got to be all that newborn clothing around. There's got to be the best doctors. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Wait a second. You think about that? I mean, if it had given me the task of planning it, we going all out. And God went all out to Bethlehem in a little town in a manger. Wow. You see, we would have done a little different probably. One of the... I heard about a little kiddie, little Christmas play that was done. And this kid was going all over the place. He was playing a sheep. And he was going everywhere and just saying, bah, I'm a sheep. Bah, I'm the sheep. Who are you? And the guy's like, I'm Joseph. You know, he's now, I'm Joseph. And the little sheep kept going around, I'm the sheep. Who are you? It's like, I'm one of the three wise men. And it seemed like the sheep was so excited about everything, but everybody else was not. And you see, he comes over to a little girl and says, I'm a sheep. Who are you? And she says, you know what? I'm Mary, and it's not easy. And he's like, well, it's not easy being a sheep, okay? And she says, well, try being a virgin and having a kid. All right? So you see, well, wow, what an imagination from these kids, you know? Christmas can be difficult, and it was difficult for Mary. It was difficult for Joseph. It was difficult for Jesus, for everyone. No, but if we would have planned it, it would have been a little different, right? You see, Mary saw a problem, and God saw a promise. Problem, I'm a virgin, and he says, promise, I said I would do this. You see, there's a big difference. He brought him through this family in all the hardships, but yet he had a family, and so do you. And whether it's out there or here, we have a family. You see, she had an attitude of a servant. She was a servant. She said, I am the bondservant. And I want you to understand what Mary's saying here. Because in the Hebrews, for the Hebrews, it was different from the Romans. The Romans bought a slave and they kept that slave and they did whatever they wanted with that slave for the rest of their lives. They owned that person. But yet, in the Hebrews, in the people of God, when they had slaves, they would go buy a person as a slave. And they would keep this person as a slave for 6 years. And on the seventh year, that person had the choice to be set free. It was only temporary. And that person could choose and say, I want to be free, and they would be free. But if that person said, well, you know what? I love my master. I love my master's family so much that I want to continue serving them for the rest of my life. The law in Exodus states the following in chapter 21. You shall take that bond servant of yours. If he or she really wants to serve you for the rest of their lives, you shall take them and bring them to the door of the temple. And when you get to the gate, you will then pierce their ear. You see, now, so many people like to pierce their ears and stuff. It was a sign from there on that that person was a voluntary slave for life to this family. So when Mary is saying, I am a bondservant, you know, that means I'm willing to do this now voluntarily. And you know, God didn't say, well, you got to go get your ears pierced. But have you read the story? At least a couple of times, the things that happened said that it pierced her heart. Talk about being a servant and have your heart pierced for God. You see, she was a worshiper in spirit and in truth. When she starts singing later on in chapter 1 in Luke, she says, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. You see, she's worshiping. But she also recognizes her condition and her need for a Savior. In verse 48, it says, he has had regard for my humble state of his bond slave. See, I'm a slave. He's the master, and he's regarded me with favor. She recognizes her condition, and she calls Jesus my Savior, her own son, my Savior. That's important. You see, Mary also recognizes her blessing. In the second part of verse 48, it says, for here, from here on, in generations, they will call me highly favored or blessed. Amazing. She recognizes the blessing. And in verse 49, it says, for the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is his name. She recognizes God's blessing over her. She found favor before God, not because of who she was, but because God bestows favor upon those that don't deserve it, like you and me. That's called grace. And she surrendered to God's grace as a bondservant. Have we done that? You see, this Christmas, we need to be reminded that God chose to bring his son to us as a baby in a mother's womb. And he did it so that we may understand that family also is important. And of course, being a family of his, being his sons and daughters. You see, it doesn't matter what family you had to grow up in. You see, you didn't choose your family, maybe. God chose it for you. And you see, some may be mothers, some may not. Some may have been fathers and some may not. But sooner or later, there'll be somebody either close or far from you that you can go and say, Merry Christmas, and say, I love you in Christ. We all came from a family. So spend time with your family like they did, even in the difficulties. Doesn't matter what family you come from. Mary, she procured to be there and to be the comforter and help for her son, for her husband, for her family. But she also recognized she needed the Father. She needed the Savior. She provided herself as a vessel for God. Have we done that ourselves as bondservants of God? See, God wants to bless you this Christmas. He wants you also to carry a blessing, just like Mary, for others, because the true joy of Christmas is Christ. So carry Christ with you in your family. And last but not least, we have the main character and family member of this family story, Jesus himself. And we read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2 and 6, whom he is. He is the promised child who'll be born of a virgin, who'll be called Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, Almighty God and Eternal Father. What a wonderful thing, Jesus Christ. There is not an event of any birth, of any child, of any person that can compare to the birth of Christ. Christ came to a family. Christ came for us. When you read the beginning of the Gospel of John, you see that John is describing Jesus all the way from creation, from him being in everything before creation, all the way to his arrival in ministry in on earth. Being his cousin, he probably knew him pretty well too, right? At least later on. And if we read at the beginning of the Gospel of John, we can see this story. But it's not complete unless you see something. First of all, he says that the light shone upon man. He is the light. And in John chapter 1, I want to go there because this is very important. Let's see. I can't handle this Bible anymore. It's too difficult. There we go. I don't know if it's because too old or... The first chapter of the Gospel of John. Look at what it says in verse 12. But as many as received him, think about that, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and even to those who believe in his name, to become children of God. He came as the light and lit the world, and he comes to let us know that we are his children. He came to give us a right, the right to be called children of God. And we can call him Father, as we saw in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. You see, when we think about becoming Christians, a lot of times when we talk about, okay, so what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that I'm saved. It means that I receive forgiveness, that I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, that I have hope, that I have redemption, that I've been made new, that I'm a new child and a new birth, and I have all this joy, and this is all true. But I want you to think for a second, he gives us the right to be called children of God, his sons and daughters. You see, this is important. I want you to believe that in your heart. I want you to take that to heart and never forget. You have been placed in a family, not just with your last name here on earth and whomever your parents are, but with God himself. You've been placed in a family, and that family is called church. This is one of the greatest gifts that we receive when Jesus comes to our life. You know what that means? It means that you will never be alone, that you will always have big brother Jesus, that you will always have the Father God with you. It means that you'll have his Spirit. It means that you have a connection with him. Consider the story of Scripture all the way from the beginning. He made man, and he didn't bring him through a womb. He actually made him from the dust and from the, and he, like clay, molded him, and then he gave him the breath of life. And here's Adam, and the first thing that God says, this is good. But then he says, not good that he's alone. He needs what? Family. He needs family. And he says, guess what? I'm going to give you a wife. And he gives him this most beautiful being that Adam has ever seen. She was the only one, right? But from what the description in Scripture, she must have been beautiful. Nobody ever says that Adam could have been handsome. I knew she was going to say something like that, whether up here or downstairs on the way out, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. You see, but these are the most beautiful people probably, right? And now they have the opportunity to be a what? A family. Because the first thing that God told them to do was like, go, make children. I want many, 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 many kids. Go have all the kids. Go, go, go. But then when you see how important family is, a little bit further, God calls a man named Noah and says, you need to build an ark. And you need to put a pair of every single animal in there. Because we need to redo this and take your family. And then he comes to Abraham, another man who's of age and his wife have never had children. He says, I'm going to give you descendants like the sand on the beach. You name it, like the stars in the heavens. What? Yes, I am. And he gave Abraham a whole family. Gave him children, family. God kept doing that. Now he comes to Mary and says, guess what? You're going to have family, but your family going to be a little different. And here we are. Jesus chose them to become a family. And he gives us then this child so that we may become family with him. It's a legal thing. When you come to Christ and Christ becomes your Savior and Lord, you become legally in heaven the child of God. You get a birth certificate, you get in heaven, it's got your name, and where it says Father, it says God. Where it says Mother, it says God. He's everything. He is. That's the God whom we belong to. And maybe you will not see other people listed there, but on the book, it will list all your brothers and sisters in Christ as a family. He wants to be your daddy. He wants to be your father. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, for we have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, which we cry out, Father, Abba, Father, Daddy. You don't have to fear. You have a father. You see, we are his sons and daughters. And that gives us a family. And this family is called church once again. See, in this darkened world and in this darkened place and darkened hearts, he offers us salvation and brings light so that we may open our eyes to the Savior. You see, what an amazing thing. And then in his death on the cross, for those who believe, he offers the opportunity for us to become part of the family. Not just a here, but there, eternally. And if you're a Christian, then you're part of that family. And if you're not, then God wants you to become part of that family. So simple. You see, I want you to appreciate your family. I want you to appreciate the people that God placed around you by his sovereign plan and grace. See, you may have a bunch of drama in your family. Emotions may run on high. And the feistiness and all this other stuff. And yeah. But family is one of the greatest gifts that we've gotten from God. And remember that you yourself probably would admit, like me, that one of the greatest parts of Christmas is family. So finally, as we go out into this dark world and even difficult families because of our sin, then let's go out there and make it right. First, make it right with God. He came to bring peace. He came to bring light. He came to bring joy. So let's do that for our families and for ourselves. See, the best thing that can happen to you this Christmas is that precisely the light of Christ would light you up and that you connect with the Father in peace and with joy. That's why he shed his blood on Calvary. See, the work was not finished at the manger. It was at the cross. And Jesus is ready to invite you to his family. Are we ready to receive the invitation and come to him and become children of God? But like Mary, think about it. Mary was probably our first example. She understood her need. She understood she needed a Savior. She understood that she needed to surrender. She understood that she needed to be a bond servant, a slave. She understood that this was God's favor, not her doing, not nothing in her, but God's grace. And she understood that this is the greatest blessing, and she did accept it. Mary, why don't we do the same thing this Christmas, if you haven't done so, that the light of Christ may give birth to a new creature within you, that you become anew in him. You see, Mary needed that. She needed a Savior. to invade her darkness, and so did Joseph. And as a consequence, they enjoyed the greatest blessing and joy. See, Joseph needed peace. He was not at peace with all that was going on, but Jesus came to give him peace. He wants to give you peace too. Mary needed a Savior. So do you. Jesus came to save her and me and you. So, this Christmas, remember, you do have family in Christ. And if you have not been yet, He wants to adopt you this Christmas and make you part of His family.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.